Hello. I wonder how you watch these services online. Do you watch from beginning to end as if we were sitting in church together? Or do you have a pause in the middle to get up and have a cuppa? Or are you tempted at this point in the service to think, oh no, not him again, and fast forward? Well, I should warn you that in this talk, we're thinking about suffering. And it's an important subject to understand as a Christian, but the talk is also about hope and about salvation. And the first part of the passage that we read from 1 Peter chapter 3 is about our suffering because of Christ. And the second part is about Christ's suffering for us. So in verses 13 to 17, we read about what's called the suffering for righteousness' sake. And earlier in this letter, we've seen and we've been encouraged to live godly lives in whatever situation we're put by God. We've been told that in so doing, we'll be blessed. But also that if we live godly lives, there'll be no reason why any others should treat us badly. So Peter asks the question in verse 17, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? And yet, of course, the sad truth is that people do act against reason and that believers are persecuted because they do good and also persecuted because of what we believe and say about Christ. So sometimes people take exception to how we live, to godliness, because how we live sheds light on their own ungodliness. So for example, you might find yourself in the workplace surrounded by people who gossip about others, but you won't take part in that because you know that it's wrong, and so they take offence. Or you might have friends who think there's nothing better than getting drunk or doing drugs, and again, you refuse to join in with that. And it's obvious to them that you think their conduct is wrong because you don't join in. And we can't just try and excuse ourselves by saying, well, that's all right for you, but it's not for me, because there is only one God, and his commands, his standards are not just for some, but for all he has created, for all people. So therefore we may suffer, well, say snide remarks, or being cut out of things, or losing friends, or we may suffer even active persecution. And so verse 14 says we suffer for righteousness' sake because we follow Christ. In other situations, and you see this clearly in the Bible, we find that people take exception to the gospel itself. Some don't like what they're being told, that we're all sinners and we're all in need of a saviour. Others may be religious, but they object to being told that because Jesus is Lord and because he came to die to save us, he is therefore the only way to the Father. And of course, in some countries, it's also against the law to convert from one faith to another. And so people may be beaten or imprisoned, they may be cut off from family or killed because they have come to faith in Christ. And so it is that we may suffer because of our faith and our desire to live godly lives. Now our Lord Jesus and the rest of the Bible warns us that that might be so, and yet when it happens, we can be shocked by it. And many are happy to be fair weather friends of Jesus, but when the going gets rough, they turn back. And as Jesus said, they're like seed sown on rocky ground. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So someone might reasonably ask, therefore, if it's so hard, why bother? Why bother following Christ? Well, these verses, I think, give us two reasons. We could think of others, but there are two here. First, we keep going with Christ, despite the cost, because we understand what Christ has done for us, what he gave for us, and we are filled with gratitude. And we'll think a bit more about that in a moment. But in verse 15, it says, in your hearts, honour Christ the Lord as holy. And then a second reason that we continue with Christ is because we have hope. And what we hope for is so much better than any suffering along the way. And so verse 15 speaks of the hope that is in you. Now, remember from the letter to the Hebrews that this hope is not something that's wishy-washy. It is sure and certain. And the hope is, well, we're promised eternal life with Christ. We're promised salvation in Christ, and we'll see that in a moment. That is, we are saved from the just judgment of God and the wrath of God against sin. And we know the blessings of God, as we have seen, but we are promised so much more to come. So despite all that he suffered for Christ's sake, the Apostle Paul could write, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And so this is important to remember, whatever the reasons we may be suffering, and it may be that you are suffering because of bodily ailments, or perhaps being the situation for you being made worse by what's happening in the world at the moment with restrictions, or all sorts of reasons that you could be suffering from. Or it may be because you are suffering because of persecution. But the glory that is to be revealed is so much greater. And we will look back, if we keep trusting in Christ, and wonder why we couldn't see that. Why we got so downhearted because of the present sufferings, when in the future we will see that glory. So we have a hope. But we're not just to keep that to ourselves. Our desire should be to see others have that hope too, and to be able to explain our hope to others. So we're told in verse 15 that we should be prepared to make a defence for the hope that we have. Now the word there translated as from the Greek as hope is the word apologia. And from that we get the word apology and also the word apologetics. And it means to give a good word. To give a good word when bad words are being said about either us or about our faith. So we're to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in us. Now in the newsletter for today's reading, I asked the question, do you understand what is the hope in you? Could you explain that hope to someone else? Not simply saying that you have hope, but are you able to give a reason for it? And here we're told that we should do so with gentleness and respect, and that it should be that our words are accompanied by good behaviour and a good conscience. And so verse 16, so that people have no reason, no justification for their opposition to us or our faith in Christ. So that's the first verse up to verse 17. Verses 18 to 22, the second half of the passage, give us a second reason why we should be willing to suffer for righteousness. It's because, as verse 18 puts it, Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. And these verses then go on to talk about salvation. Though in the middle, we come to the slightly confusing verses about Jesus preaching to the spirits in prison and about Noah and his family and others. And I'm not going to delve into those now, but if you're interested in that, I did preach about it last October when we were looking at the Apostles' Creed in church and how Jesus descended to the dead. So you can find a sermon which touches more on those verses on the church website from October. But the point for what we're looking at now has to do with salvation. Noah and his family were saved from the judgment of God that was sent in the flood, a judgment in which all mankind perished apart from those few. And the passage says that we are saved by baptism. Now here's one of those places where the Bible uses very definite language about what baptism does. And we're told that baptism saves us, though it's not by some sort of magic in the water, rather it's by an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so therefore these verses are reminding us what Christ does for us if we truly believe in him and trust in him. He died for our sins. he was raised for our salvation. And so verse 18 summarizes, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. That is to say that by faith we are put to death in the flesh, and also we are made alive in the spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Now, do you really believe that and understand it? If you do, are you ready now not simply to follow Christ when things are going well, but to follow him when things are going badly? Are you willing to follow him when you know that you may have to suffer for doing so? Perhaps you are suffering now because you are following him, and yet you want to seek to honour him as your Lord in your lives. Well, we've seen that this chapter speaks about God's blessing as we seek to live for him. But we're also reminded that even if we do suffer for righteousness' sake, we're still blessed. And we should be ready and willing to suffer for Christ, because we know that what Christ has endured for us, and we know that because of what Christ endures, we have a sure and certain hope, an eternal promise for the future through him. Well, let's have a moment to think about this, and then we'll pray. Father God, we thank you for all that Jesus has done for us, that it is through him that we have not only forgiveness now, but that sure and certain hope for the future. And Lord, as we reflect on his suffering for us, help us to be ready to suffer for him, knowing that what we have in the future is far greater, and longing that others should have that sure hope too. In Jesus' name, amen.